Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
We come before you this morning in total reverence. Lord, please invade our camp this morning. Oh, the King of Kings, this meeting will amount to nothing if you do not take over. I am pleading with you, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Please invade our camp this morning. My desire this morning is that you take this word and you make it life in the lives of your people. Please do not allow us to remain the same after this encounter. Please do something in our lives. Change our mindsets. Help us to begin to think like servants of God. Please permit us to understand what you are doing in and around us. I hide behind a bleeding cross. I plead that no man, no woman will see me. Everyone will see Jesus, who is the King of Kings, of whom we desire that this morning we will have more and more of the understanding of Christ. Thank you, loving Father. I ask, oh God, that you will pass through this earthen vessel this morning and you'll be a blessing to everyone under the sound of my voice, worshiping on site and online. Let nobody escape what you want to do this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, today we'll settle down and flow from unit one. Now, I want to believe under God that every one of us, we have done unit one. Am I correct? Will it be okay for me to make such an assumption that you have finished unit one? You have done unit one, day two, day three, day four, day five. Is that true? If you know you are here, Pastor, I've not done it. Let me confess. I've not done it. Wave your hand, Pastor. I've not done it. All right. You can see those who are really born again. They say, Pastor, we've not done it. And those of you who have done it, you're also born again. We thank God. Hallelujah. So we're going to go on a journey. I would relate everything I'm going to say this morning will be from the book, as the Lord will help us. If there are lessons leading us to some scriptures that are outside the book, is because this book is not the material to birth the life of God in us, but it is an instrument God will pass through to do what he wants to do in our lives. So this morning, I've been so privileged to begin us again with unit one. So we'll just go through a few things and see what God has for us this morning. Please turn your scriptures with me to John chapter 15 and verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. What is the significance of John chapter 15, verse 5 to this study? What is it to unit 1? Is it what? How many of you already know it? Very simple. How many of you already know John 15, verse 5? Verse 5. How many of you, if you know it, let me see your hand. Very simple. Praise God. Praise God. Don't worry, those who don't know it, the Lord will grant you grace. The idea is that after every week, you should have known it. That's the idea. Don't wait to say, okay, because we'll do exam this morning. No, I will just come to where you are, give you microphone. You must give us memory verse. I'm so people are saying that, why didn't I connect online this morning? I should have connected online. Who brought me on site? And the Spirit was telling me not to come. Who told me to come? You came well. I will not bring microphone to you. God does not bring us to church to embarrass us. Amen. And even for some people who probably may not be able to say it verbatim, maybe the work has started happening in their life. And that's the most important thing. There's no need for the word of God in my mouth if it's not in my heart. A lot of people have the head knowledge of God. That's what we're talking about in our discipleship program. Our discipleship must go beyond head knowledge translates to heart knowledge so that we can begin to do hand work for God. H-H-H. That is what disciple, three dimensions of discipleship. Translating from head knowledge discipleship to heart-based discipleship onto hand-based discipleship. That's what discipleship should be. Any crucial discipleship should major on these three, and basically the heart-based discipleship. All right, let's go. Let's read together John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, this is Christ speaking, talking about the issue of our relationship with him. And that is where we're going to start this morning on our experiencing God journey. It starts from the fact that there must be a relationship. And God, Christ is saying that if you detach from me, there is nothing you can do at all. So we cannot continue this journey. We can't press on with this journey until we settle the issue of our relationship with God. And that is what brings us to the point where we look at when we see in page 8. So you can open with me your book to page 8. When you get to page 8, you will begin to discover the prerequisites. You will see the prerequisites, which is a relationship with God. Now, the matter of our journey to experience God begins from the cross. It begins at the foot of the cross. So whenever a man has not started walking with God, with Christ, such a man cannot be discipled. I've always told those who care to listen and those who are working closely with me in discipleship that the biggest problem to the discipleship of any local church and the biggest problem to the effort in discipleship is that we disciple people who are not born again. So when we want to do a program, we say we want to do discipleship. People who are not born again, we enroll for discipleship. That is not discipleship. Discipleship is not a program for those who are not born again. Discipleship is a deepening walk with the master for those who have already experienced Calvary. You cannot begin the effort of discipleship. You cannot commence the walk in discipleship if you are not born again. So the beginning point of discipleship is, number one, we must establish ab initio, our relationship with Christ. And that is why I saw from the scriptures, which is very clear and cannot be hidden, in Mark chapter 2, verse 22. Please, media, help us put Mark chapter 2, verse 22. The Bible says, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins. And both the wine and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. So the moment a man is still wearing the old wineskin, God cannot pour new virtue. God cannot pour his spirit upon such a man. It will burst. So when you have people who are not born again coming to do discipleship, what we are only doing is that we are making it look like good. We are making it look good outwardly, but inwardly is a canker worm. And that is why you have the church having problem. Because you see a man who has done follow the master, serve the master, master life, experiencing God, mind of Christ. But the man from beginning is not born again. The man beats his wife at home. The man goes around carrying women outside. The man drinks to stupor. The man does not even know what Jesus is talking about. The man is against everything about Christ. But the man is legalistic to follow every principle of the church. He has done master life. He has done experiencing God. He has done mind of Christ. So in terms of head knowledge, the man has it. But the heart is not there. Such a man will never allow the church to move forward. So the matter of discipleship is reserved for those who are born again. The moment a man has not encountered Christ, he cannot move on. So number one, we must establish first you are born again. If you are born again, then you can now begin to do discipleship. And that's what he's talking about here, relationship with Christ. Somebody say, Pastor, what do you mean? Can you explain it further? Okay, let us see a scripture. Let's see Matthew 14, verse 22. Let's see Jesus' attitude to those who are still in the crowd. Matthew 14, verses 22. The Bible says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Jesus does not involve the crowd in discipleship. He only teaches them, he preaches to them if they get saved. In only the disciple we did tell to cross over to the other side for further instruction. You don't disciple an unbeliever. You preach to an unbeliever to be born again. And that is why there's so much struggle in the church. Because men who don't understand what church is are the ones deciding about church. And they are using principles and theologies, principles and techniques that has no basis in the scripture. That is why churches all over is having problems. Because the people who are handling the matter of spirituality don't understand spiritual things. And the Bible says the things of the spirit, the carnal man cannot understand it. So when you bring it, they are questioning it. They are questioning it because they are not born again. And excuse me, can I say to you, that is the best they can do because they don't know any better. And that is why any local church that has that understands it, that wants to get it right, must be very sure that the people who have been admitted into discipleship, number one, have established their relationship with Christ. And Christ is working in them. So I want to ask you, are you born again? You know, unfortunately, we have become a church. And I'm not talking about Ikoyi Baptist Church. I'm talking about Church Universal. We have become a church. That the moment you start coming to church, you're already born again. No, there's a prescribed order for those who want to be born again. How can we say we are born again? And we go out, we do the same things the world is doing. We're not born again. Those who have experienced the cross, those who have had an encounter with the master, their lives are different. It is such men that the Lord brings into an experience with him. Jesus will always dismiss the crowd because the crowd will not understand the spiritual things he's telling them. So I want to ask you this morning that as we want to press on with our walk with the master, if you are not born again, this experience is not for you. So maybe the very critical thing you need to do at this moment is to say, Lord, please have mercy on me. Because discipleship is a continuing relationship that makes us deepen our walk with the Lord and makes us to increasingly become like the Lord. For those who are in the medical field, and I look and I can see Dr. Gonsalves, we know that there is something called gene mutation. I did that in biology, I cannot forget. There's something called gene mutation. Biology knowledge. And gene mutation, by definition, from my biology understanding, is that gene mutation is a complete change in DNA. There's a DNA that makes a man, that forms the genes of a man. And now, whenever there's a gene mutation, now, it means that there is a complete change in the DNA. So what the person gave birth to is not looking like that person. It's like a mutant. So when we come to church, there is a DNA for the church. So whenever there is a change in that DNA, medical people call it gene mutation. Unfortunately, the church is suffering from a lot of gene mutation. So those who should correct an error are supporting it. You know why? Because it is a product of gene mutation. We have so much allowed error in the church. So when the right wants to effect what is right, those that are wrong will say, no, what is that? You know, I have had before, somebody messed up in a church. And as he messed up in a church, singing in the choir, messed up in the church. And as the person messed up, did something abominable among themselves. Why they were still telling them, why would you do that? Somebody said, Is he the first person? Gene mutation. The reason why nobody will have the right to correct the error in the church is because there's a lot of gene mutation. In those days, it was not so. Men can't carry sin and sit on the pew and be comfortable. But today, even the one who tries to correct it is addressed in a very terrible way. Such church cannot experience God.
So let us settle the issue of our relationship with Christ. And that's what this book is calling attention to from the very beginning. Will you bow your heads? Pastor, open your eyes. Do you know why people fall ill? And I was addressing that with home cell leaders yesterday. Do you know why people fall ill? It's because there is an antigen that entered the body, that is fighting the body, that is not making the body to be at ease. So disease now comes in. The body is not at ease, so it is disease. Whenever there is a body that enters the human body that is strange to that body will fall ill. If the antibody cannot fight it and defeat it. The reason why the Church of God today is sick is because we have a lot of members in leadership, a lot of members who take decision at various fori of the church who are not born again. So the church is sick. The body of Christ must not suffer that. Somebody cannot come and sit at the altar, sit in the choir. But when he leaves the choir, he goes to do a rubbish thing. The church will be sick. Such church cannot experience God. What they will know is that they will be having head knowledge of God, but they can never experience God. God does not pour new wine in an old wine skin. The moment that skin is old, Pastor Adeboye said, no matter how pure what comes from heaven is, the moment it passes through a corrupt container, that thing becomes impure. And what we have in the church today is that we are having a lot of corrupt men laying hands on empty heads. So the heads that are supposed to receive the righteousness of God, all over leadership in the church, we are seeing corruption being poured into them. So the whole church is corrupt. It's not supposed to be difficult to preach the message of holiness. And men will cry and weep. In those days, the Bible told us the prescribed order when men hear message of holiness. The Bible said they tore their garments. The Bible said they wept. Today, after preaching the message of holiness, people will continue to clap. In those days, it was not so. It is the state of the church. We no longer revere sacred things. Bow your heads. Pastor, we can stop now. Pastor, there is something fundamentally wrong in my life. It doesn't matter how long you have been serving. It doesn't matter how long you have stayed in church. But you know you are not born again. You know the matter before us this morning is a serious matter. And you want to say, Pastor, how can I continue like this? People think I'm born again, but I'm far from God. We can settle it with God this morning. We can settle it with God this morning. You're here, you're not born again. Why all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed? I'd like to pray with you before we proceed. Because the only way you can enjoy and have a total experience of this program is if your life is aligned with the purpose of heaven. Pastor, I'm not born again. Please pray with me from here. It doesn't matter what people say you are. It doesn't matter what people think of you. It doesn't matter how much you have served in church. It doesn't matter if you feel that you have been born again 19 Abraham, baptized 19 Moses. It doesn't matter for how long. But you know of a certainty, you are far from the commonwealth of faith. And this morning you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to start afresh with the Lord. All heads are bowed and all eyes are closed. Will you lift up your right hand? I'll pray with you from here. Say, Pastor, please pray with me. I know there is something in me that seems to suggest to me I am not born again. Pastor, pray with me. Is that hand up? If that hand is up, just lift. Thank you, my sister. Raise it high above your head. Like to pray. We cannot afford to walk in assumption and feel that all is all right. If all is not all right, the Lord is calling us this morning to make it right so that we can proceed further. Father, thank you. I ask for this hand that are up. That, oh God, my Father, you will walk upon these lives. And your will be done in the lives of these ones who have identified to make right that which is about their life. I don't know what it is, but I know that by your grace and by your mercy, we cannot proceed on the matter of experiencing God only to discover that we have run a race in futility. But I still know, oh God, even when the adulterous woman was apprehended, by the people who sought to stone her. Lord, I know definitely there was still the adulterous man who hid himself probably in the crowd. I am asking for these ones who have identified with you this morning, as we continue to study, if there still be somebody who has hidden in the crowd before the end of this teaching, please bring that one to the cross. Please bring that one to the cross. Please, Lord, bring that one to the cross. We don't want to do this program in assumption. We want to trust your spirit to help us, and so that we can become what you want us to be. Blessed be your name, mighty God. To you, Lord, be the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it is my firm belief that by the grace of God, that for those who have raised their hand to say, Pastor, I want to begin afresh with the Lord. Sincerely, I am trusting the Lord that as we continue to look at the word of God, the Lord will also begin to search out a few others to say, I know, Pastor, there is also an issue in my life that cannot make me progress. We'll also deal with them. By the grace of God, how I wish what I am teaching now, I am teaching from heaven. If I was teaching this thing from heaven, I would have been very glad, because it would have informed me that I've also overcome. But do you know I am not teaching from heaven? I am teaching this from earth. So I will also stand in judgment. So I live my life in fear, knowing that someday all of us will stand before God to offer to God the stewardship of that which we did while we're here on earth. If you look at page 9, and I'm trusting God that you have looked at it before now, page 9 gives us critical issues about the objectives of this course. And I will not touch it, because I'm trusting God that on Wednesday, when we gather in our various groups, we will look at those objectives one by one. There are about 7 of them there, the 7 objectives of this course. We are trusting the Lord that at the end of this course, 7 of these objectives will jump at us. Permit me to say, like I have said before, this course will not change your life. Did you hear me? Please help me tell your neighbor, this course. Help me tell your neighbor, say, this course will not change your life. Tell him or her again, this course will not change your life. Or you say, this book will not change your life. It is God that will use this book, use this course to bring about a permanent change in your life. So don't ever think that the solution to whatsoever is in this book. But God, who changes the lives of men, will use this book as a medium to change not only your life, but my own life in Jesus' name. And it is on the background of that that I want us to understand the fact that anyone who has become born again does not rest on his oars. Anybody who is born again, this course provides us an opportunity to know more of God. And that's what page 7 was trying to call our attention to. Page 9 rather. More of God. Looking for more in your experience of God. And you will discover 2 things I want us to do. Whenever we finish from this study, Acts chapter 17 verse 11. Somebody, media, help me put Acts 17 verse 11. Whenever we finish from this course, I beg you in the name of Jesus, become Berean Christians. Everything you hear us say from this book, else it appears as though there is an agenda. There's no agenda. Anything you see us teach from this book, go back home, study the word of God. Is it in alignment with the word of God? If it is, take it. If it is not, throw it away. Now the Berean Jews, who were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Whenever any of the pastors come here to share the depth of truth in this word, as we read from the word of God and from the pages of this book, please go back home. Go and search. If you cannot find it anywhere in the scripture, I beg you, throw it away. But if you can find it like the Berean Christians, I plead with you in the name of Jesus, please pick it and never allow it to leave your life. You will discover that what God is doing in the lives of men is not anything anybody can just do as if it doesn't matter. If you check that page 9, you will discover the writer was talking about paying attention to personal experiences. He says, be careful of personal experiences, even other people's experience. And immediately, Numbers chapter 20 jumped at me. And I want to plead with every one of us, please, as you go through this course, it is very important every one of us will pay close attention to our life. Don't pay attention to experiences happening around you. Don't pay attention to your own personal experience. Don't use it as a basis to judge what God is doing around you. Always look at the scripture. Always find out what is God doing. Numbers chapter 20 from verse 7. Numbers 20 verse 7. Now look, listen very carefully, because this is very critical and this is very important to where God is leading us. Numbers 20 from verse 7. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff. And I want all of us to listen very well, because this is very crucial in getting to know more of God. Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. The next verse, the Bible says, so Moses took the staff from the Lord's hands, from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. And in verse 10, he and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of the rock? And in verse 11, then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. Verse 12, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. And in verse 13, the Bible says, these were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and where he was proved holy among them. Now you may be wondering, what is Pastor trying to bring out from here? We're talking about the fact that everything you see, weigh it by the word of God. Now, I don't want to talk about all the many issues in this scripture, but I want to bring out just one salient issue that is very critical for us as a church. What is that issue? Now, if you were following us as we're reading this scripture, you would discover that God told Moses, go and speak to the rock. Am I correct? Go and speak to that rock. Go and speak to that rock. No. So what God was trying to say is that, you know, it is my mountain, because that mountain, Mountain Horeb, is called the mountain of the Lord. And God was telling him, because you know I have dealt with you with that mountain before. Go to that mountain. And you know, before now, God had told Moses before to strike the rock. Am I correct? And Moses had struck the rock. And when Moses struck the rock, when he did, what happened? The Bible said water came out. Now, this was God in a different move. This was God on a different agenda. This was God doing something completely new. God called Moses again. All right, go to that rock. You know the rock that I've had this experience with you before. Go to that rock. But this time around, please speak to the rock. But you know what Moses did? Moses said to himself, and I want to guess, because this is my own allusion, because of the action Moses took. Moses got there. Who are you to tell me what to do? I am experienced. I have been in this matter for too long. Do you know who I am? A foundational member. Do you know how long we have been in this matter of miracle working? Don't you know that I've done it before? I have 20 years experience in this matter. And when he got there, he forgot everything God told him to do, and he did his own agenda. What happened? The Bible says, instead of speaking to the rock, what did he do? The Bible said he struck the rock, not just once. He said, if the first one I struck once, what I came out, let me strike it 2 times. What happened is my biggest challenge. What did the Bible say happened? Water gushed out. How did the water gush out? You didn't see it. How? Okay, this translation is, I think KJV puts it that the water came out abundantly. KJV, Bible says, and the water came out abundantly. Now, was the process wrong? Hello, was the process wrong? The process was wrong. Did result come? Did it come very well? It came very well. Not just small results, mighty results. Did the people drink the water? They drank the water and they went. Why the people drank the water? God called Moses, oh yeah, you come. Shebi, I am dealing with you and you are working with your own experience. I am telling you where I am at work. And I'm saying this you should do. But you feel you want to do it by the principles of life. All right. Did the result come? Yes, it came. And the Lord began to tell me, and I want you to experience this, that it is not everything that has results that means that God is involved in it. So there are some principles we'll bring to the house of God that works outside, that may even be working, but God is saying, I have disqualified you. What made the people of God to drink water and to drink in abundance was what disqualified a man from entering the promised land. Please be very careful. Don't carry your experience in your dealings and in your work with the Lord. There's a prescribed order. Don't ever break the prescribed order when God is at work. Because the basics of this is that God is always at work around us. Let us go over to page 12. When you get to page 12, there's a critical matter for all of us to chew and to deal with. Spanning from page 11, but it's page 12 we're going to deal with. From page 11, it gives us an understanding of what God wants to do around us, which is following one day at a time. Now, in God's scheme of things, his idea for every one of us is to follow him one day at a time. God is not interested in giving us all the full details at the same time. All God wants from us is to what? Follow him one day at a time. And I'll give us two examples as we look at God telling us to follow him one day at a time. Genesis chapter 12. We'll look at the life of Abraham from Genesis chapter 12. And we go on to look at what Jesus said when it has to do with we trusting him to do his work in our life. Genesis 12 from verse 1. The Bible says, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. In verse 2, we're going to verse 5. The Bible says, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Scriptures now went on to say, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And in verse 4, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he went out from Haran. And in verse 5, he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possession they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. The Lord told him from verse 1, and it was clear. He says, get up. I want to take you to a land where I will show you. Excuse me. I want to ask you, don't worry, I'm going to quit. If the Lord tells you to get up and go to a place, leave everything you have, leave your place, leave your father, leave your mother, leave everything, and go to a place that I will show you, will you go?
Yes, sir.
You will go. You don't know where you are. You're already a big woman. You're already well situated, well settled. You say you will go. You will leave everything and go.
I will go, sir.
You will go. You know, it's very easy for us to say from the church. It's very simple for us to say from the church. How I wish I can step down and come to every one of us one by one and say, if the Lord is telling you that job that you have now, that job that you have now, that you are the MD, the CEO, leave it, leave everything, come and follow me. How many of us will do that? So it's only four people. You say you will do. But in the whole church, only four people out of this large congregation, the rest of them say, I will not go. Sir? You have to verify. I'm coming. No, I like what you are saying. Okay, you said you have to. No, don't worry, let me hold it for you, sir.
There are signs that I should see. I know it's for the Lord. And my faith will show me that it is the Lord. Not somebody just telling me it's from the Lord. If I'm sure it's from the Lord, I will obey.
If you are sure it's from the Lord, there are some signs you must see. God must show you signs. Your shadow must go back. At the same time, must come forward. Your shadow must come this way. Moses asked for signs. Let's go to Miss Nganji. I was hearing her say something very critical. All right, you say you will do what?
I will ask, which route will I take? Which bus stop will I go? Which bus will I enter? If I have a car, am I going through Ikeja or Ajegule? It will lead me now.
You are correct. Is it Molu where we enter? Will I, God, where will I? And meanwhile, God had told you a place I will show you, not that I have shown you. You will still be questioning him all this much.
The matter strong.
The rest of you are looking at me. You are quiet. It doesn't mean that you will go. It doesn't seem to translate to me that you will go. A man like Abraham, who had been established, God just woke him up. So, oh yeah, stand up. Come and live here. Go to a place that I will show you. He said, Oga, where is the place first? Mrs. Bosse Taiwo.
It's not easy.
It's not easy. You know, these are the experiences God puts us through that makes God himself to know how much we are able to trust him. These are the experiences we must go through for God to ascertain that we can trust him. I was sharing with you on Sunday about an experience when I had finished and I got a job I didn't apply for. I don't know how the university sent the result. I don't know. You can go and find out. I finished from the University of Calabar in Cross River State under Professor Evara Ejemot Isu, who is presently the Deputy Governor of Cross River State. Even when I finished from the University of Calabar, coming out the best students in my department, the man never believed it. He brought me to his office because I was by then, before I finished, the president of BSF for 2 years, and the president of 40-something fellowships on campus. I was the JCCF president. So every time they would see me doing crusade as a student. Crusade. Every time they pass, they see me on one, you know, already I'm a very tall person. So I stand on one this thing, and I'm always preaching. Very early in the morning, I will stand in front of our hostel, and I'll be saying, every one of you, every Saturday morning, I always do morning cry on top of the hostel. So everybody knew me as an unserious student. You know, sometimes when you begin to do heavy things for God, they think you're unserious. But they didn't know that we were reading. They didn't know that we were doing what we needed to do. So when I came out, the man called me. You can call him if you have a relationship with him. Tell him, Mikey. Just tell him, Mikey. Don't tell him any other thing. And he called me and said, hey. He said, I know you as the president of all the 40-something fellowships on campus. I never knew you were serious to academics. Come, let me give you something. And the man turned and started counting money to give me. Wow. I turned my face so that he would not see me looking at him and stop counting. All these things, they were the things that worked out good jobs for me, waiting for me. I was serving when somebody called me that the university is planning to retain me. I say, retain what? From the university seminary, Nigerian Baptist Theological Seminary, when I graduated as the best student, 7 awards. Nobody had gotten it by then. I don't, whatever the case is, but 7 awards. The late man, great man, thank God for the life he lived, on Sunday, called me. He said, young man, we are going to retain you in this place. By then, no church had called me. No church had called me. But just at about the time I was trying to accept it, I was thinking about it, the Lord told me, son, I'm not sending you there. They told me clearly, you go and do your PhD. We send you out of the country to do your... The Lord told me, son, I'm not sending you there. I told the registrar, I said, I'm sorry, sir. No, sir. And I went back home, sat at home, no church. Sometimes we are too desperate. The reason why we have not been able to enter into the fullness of the purpose of God for our lives is the act of desperation. And the Lord is saying, the Lord told Abraham, he said, I am sending you somewhere. And where I am sending you, the truth of the matter is that what? I will show you, but you just go. And somebody say, you will ask question. Somebody say, I will look for sign. But is he wrong? Are they wrong? Is that not what the same thing all of us will do today? I have shared an example with you. It does not mean that in some areas too, I will not be having doubts. But my doubts does not prove the righteousness of God for my life. Somebody help me read Matthew 6:33. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the Bible told us clearly God's expectation for us. The Bible says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things. You know the problem we have in the church? We don't understand heaven's priority. Heaven's priority for our life is that we should seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The problem is that we are pursuing every other thing. You know when you go to market and you buy something and they give you what you have bought and you now say, what about Jara? Is it Jara or Fisi? Both of them are there. Say, what about Jara? Do you know the things most of us are pursuing? Most of us. The most thing most of us are pursuing is the Jara. From this scripture, the Bible says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these other things shall be given to you. So if you want God to bless you, what do you need? His kingdom. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. You know, as I was studying, I discovered that Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 seems to tell us seven things. It seems to tell us seven things. It seems to tell us that it is a call to understand the more important issues of our living. A few times, a lot of us do not understand the important reason why God sent us here. And God is saying, leave all those things you are pursuing. All those things that make you not to come to church. All those things that made you to stop following Christ. He said there's an important issue for your living. He seems to also tell me a second thing. That Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 is a reminder that God is able to meet all our needs only if we can look up to him. Reverend Babalola was speaking here last 2 weeks Wednesday. And he was saying that he normally tells people to check their blood pressure before they do experiencing God. Check it and see the level. Then go and do experiencing God. When you finish, go and check it again. It will drop. He said, because if you come to experiencing God, you come to know that God is able to meet all my needs if I keep my focus on him. The third dimension is that it is an admonition to forget about the worries of life. Forget about those things. Just look unto me. And as we do this experiencing God, I want to beg all of us, forget about every other thing. Let's look unto God. The fourth dimension is a quick call to be contented and take one day at a time. Take one day at a time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing shall be added to us. The fifth one is a call for divine prioritization. Learn to prioritize well. What is the most important issue that bothers the heart of God? his kingdom. What is the important thing that bothers the heart of God? Righteousness. So let us place our eyes on the weightier matters of the kingdom. Each time I go to the burial site and I see people who have died, or when we do burial services and I see big men with all their money, every time they just have one small headache, they book the next flight to US. Every time there one hospital checking, and we have done a lot of burial services for big men. And I say, sir, wow. So after all these things, this is the final outcome. And all the things they have acquired in life is left for people who maybe they were even quarreling with when they were alive. Those people now sit down and be eating it. I beg you, church, and every one of you connecting with us via live streaming, I beg you in the name of Jesus, remove your eyes from those things. Experiencing God brings us to a point of beginning to prioritize our life and placing our lives on matters of the weightier matters of the kingdom. Number six, it is a wake-up call that the things of this world that we chase are supposed to be a necessary reward for our pursuit of God. The things we are chasing is what is supposed to pursue us. Did you remember in the scripture? The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us. In the scriptural terms, we are not supposed to pursue goodness and mercy. It is your right as a child of God for goodness and mercy to pursue you, for job to pursue you, for health to pursue you, because you have not missed out on pursuing God. And seven is that it is a clear message that the producer is greater and more important than the product. You cannot compare the producer and the product. The producer is always greater than the product. And it was said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let us look at what verse 14, chapter 14, is calling our attention to. In chapter 14, we see Jesus as our clear model. And in understanding Jesus as our model, how did Jesus live his life? Question one. Let's look at question one. I'll be asking you and I'll be needing response from you. I can trust my experience as an effective way to know and follow God. True or false? Are you sure? Say it again. False. So that means what Moses did was wrong. If that is what you are saying, you mean you cannot trust your experience? Because I'm shocked now. If you say you cannot trust your experience as an effective way to know and follow God, are you sure it's false? It's false? Is it false? If you believe it's false, raise your hand. Let me see. Okay. So apparently there are some who are saying it is true. If you feel it is true, let me see your hand. There are some people who are neither here nor there. And sometimes they are even the ones who used to cause problems in church. You know, somebody came, and I shared with the home cell people last time. Somebody came to talk with me during one CIC. Thank God we have CIC today. Somebody came and told me, say, Pastor, I need to ask this person this. I don't want to mention the person's name. I need to ask this person this. He needs to answer this today because it's for a long time now. He has not responded. I need to ask him. And he left. I called him. I said, bro, come. I said, bro, have you asked him personally that this, what is holding it? He said, no, I've not asked him. I said, go and ask him. Then if his answer is not satisfactory, come and ask it in front of the whole church. Don't create problem in church. And he went to him. He said, bro, what we are talking about, this. The bro said, okay, this. He said, oh, it's all right. You know, a lot of things we waste time to discuss in church and conference, they are not necessary. Am I communicating? Am I saying don't discuss in church and conference? I'm not saying so. I'm only saying if there are things you can handle at the back end, go and handle it. Then if you are not receiving solution, bring it here. We don't need to waste God's people's time with things that we can settle outside. So if you said that your experience is not good enough for you to be able to know and follow God. I agree with you 100%. Leave your experience. All the experiences you gathered yesterday, last year, forget it. From today, find out, God, where are you at work? We have discovered from the life of Moses that some days back, you told him to strike the rock. The next day, you told him speak to the rock. From today, I will change my mindset. Did you understand that? If God told Moses today, strike the rock, the next day, God was telling him the same thing for the same purpose. But this time around, though, you want water again, but don't strike it. Speak to it. None of us should be relying on past experience. Let's discover where God is at work and join him. Does that make sense? We must never do God's work with the understanding of the way we feel it should be done. God's work is not done by feelings. God's work is done by revelation. Number two, I should always evaluate my experiences based on the truth I find in God's word. Is that true? Or is that false? You sure? Is it true or false? True? Now, what if somebody is saying something and somebody is talking and it looks fine? It looks fine. And you cannot find that thing in the Bible. Is that person right or wrong? No. You see, we need to be sure we are saying this thing. Based on your response, you said the answer is true. Look at what it means. It means that if somebody is saying something and the thing looks so fine, it makes sense, it's reasonable, it's objective, but it's against the precepts of the scripture. Is the person right? So the person is wrong. Even though it makes sense, is he wrong? That's what the word of God teaches us. So whenever Dickness Emma says a thing, I won't argue with you, but I will check, is it scripturally correct? And if it's scripturally not correct, Dickness Emma, what should you do? I'm coming. Please, when you get home, check the scripture. No personal principle. If you'd say a thing, maybe from your place of work, it worked. From your personal experiences, it has been working. But when you say them, the scripture, it is not in tandem with the provisions of the scripture. Are you correct?
No.
All right. You are saying you are not correct. So, should we accept it?
No. Not in tangent with the word of God.
As long as it's not in tandem with the word of God, what will be your position as a member of the body when a matter is coming and we can see clearly this is against the scripture, even though it looks good?
It's wrong.
It's wrong. I don't know if, Oga, what she's saying now, does it appear like being in line with provisions of the scripture?
Yes, it is.
It is. So that means our objectivity, rationality, and reasonability has no area when God is involved. Because we have learned from the scripture that even as reasonable as Moses' own was, and water came abundantly, the people drank, the people went home, Moses missed the promised land. So is that okay?
Okay.
All right. Number three. The third, if we are establishing these truths and we are going to go home to study them and be sure that this is clear, I may get a distorted understanding of God if I do not check my experiences against the truth of scripture. Is that true? So no matter how good your experience is, always put it side by side the scripture. Let me tell you something. And this is without whatsoever. In Ikoyi Baptist Church, we're doing one discipleship program. There's something we're doing in Master Life. And I will say because it's a ministry under my watch. And when I came, I discovered we're doing Johari Windu had what? Who are those who are doing Master Life then? Dr. Gonsalves. What's that thing we're doing? Johari window. Is it Johari window? Abi Jo what? Johari window. Whistle. Window. So we came. Fantastic. Fantastic principles. But we couldn't find it anywhere in the scripture. The people of God were carrying load. When you come to Master Life, the load, the neck, your neck may so Master Life already is a deep. I don't use the word difficult. It's a robust program. They now carry Johari window, put everybody's head in the window. It looked good. But I told them, no, not in Ikoyi Baptist Church. Take that out. Take it out. You don't use human effort to bring about spiritual development. The best of a man's ability to bring holiness can lead to a suspended failure. So your experiences must be put side by side the scripture. I want to talk now, and this thing looks reasonable, but is it against the scripture? I need to address this matter, and I support you address it. But before you talk, is it in line with scripture? Sincerely, as I stand here as a pastor in the church, anybody who confronts me or challenges me, and I see clearly that what you are saying is from the scripture, I will apologize. Even after now, I will apologize. It's better I apologize to you and stand before God and be guiltless than I claim that I'm okay and I stand before God. God will say, I do not know you. Can I show you from the scripture? The Bible was talking about the man who came before God. And the Lord said, go away. I don't know you. You what? Worker of iniquity. He said, Lord, you don't understand. He said, me, I did miracle. I gave alms to people who were in need. You don't know me. First person to come to church. Do you know when I joined this church? In fact, when they were creating problems, I was the one who stood in support. The Lord said, all these works, they are what? Works of iniquity. There are some things men praise, but God is saying, I don't have a hand in this. Please, put all your experiences side by side the scripture. And the fourth one, I can trust God to work in my life similarly to ways I see him walking through the scriptures. Is it possible? Is that true of us? Are you sure? So let's not ever say, I've heard somebody say, that was Bible days. How many of you have heard somebody say so before? You see, they will not talk now. I will ask it again. How many of you have seen people say, that was Bible days, that was Bible days? Let's face reality. How many of you? You are trying to be spiritual. All of you raise your hand. God bless you. I've seen people say, let's face reality. Let's face reality. What is before us? If Jesus Christ had listened to his disciples who said, Lord, even if we have a food for the whole year, it won't feed these people. Do you know the 5,000 men without women and children would not have been fed? Jesus said, I know that is reality, but we must align it with what my God, my Father is doing now. There is nothing that is impossible for the one who aligns his purpose with that of Christ. All right, on Wednesday, the Lord will bring us to a point where we now sit down and look at a few other things. So I want to encourage every one of us under God to get ready for what will happen on Wednesday. I'd like to encourage every one of you to come very early, come before 6 o'clock, so that we can have 1 hour of group studies together to look at these things little by little and little by little. Finally, I want to jump and bring us to what happened to Moses as he was trying to understand the will and the purpose of God, pages 24 and 25. It's at this point I'm going to leave us so that we can pray. But my biggest concern is that, please, you know there are some things I jumped. Don't miss it on Wednesday. We're going to be looking at them little by little. Oh my God. How many people can be like Moses, who was dining, whining, sitting, eating, sleeping, waking at the palace. And he chose to leave the palace. This morning, God is making a call to every one of us to leave the palace. A lot of destinies have ended because men just like to be in the palace. Please, let's leave the palace. You know, the Bible said that when Moses had grown, the Bible says he went out. Not only did he leave the palace, the Bible says he said he was going to go and see how his brothers were faring. And this morning, I want to beg us to leave the palace. Ask your neighbor, which palace is holding you down? Do you know, Brother Moses, it's possible. Moses probably could have been the next Pharaoh. Possible. He could have become the next Pharaoh. Possible. But when he saw something greater, he said, no, sir, I must leave this place. You know, one of the biggest problems with us is the ability to make adjustments. It's the ability to say, no, I'm just going to move to join God where he's at work. And our reality won. And I like to write it. I hope I have your permission to write. The reality one brings us to, please, I like it on the screen. Brother Dako. Okay, I sought access when I entered immediately, but he didn't grant me. All right, so the reality one tells us that God is always at work around us. And in granting us access to God being at work, always around us, brings us to what Moses did. What did Moses do? Look at what Moses did. Look at reality 5, page 25. The Bible says, God's invitation, for what we saw, it said God's invitation for Moses to walk with him led to a crisis of belief that required faith and action. What were those things? Three things that happened to him. Three things. You know, in reality one, what we see clearly is the fact that God is always at work around us. And three things that resonated to Moses in that crisis of belief were, number one, he began to doubt God. Number two, he feared the people. And number three, he felt inadequate of himself. That's reality three in Moses. Let's go through that thing. Who am I? Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, 13, verse 4, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, 10, and 13. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, okay, let's just look at our book, page 25. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? You know, our inability to understand what God can do always brings us to a point where we are unable to access the purpose of heaven. And you can see from this point, the first issue that was a crisis for him was, Lord, I have not even encountered. Who do I say you are? Until we are able to know who God really is, then we cannot fully understand God's purpose. Until Moses said, if they ask me, who do I tell them that you are? My brother, do you know the reason why you cannot understand what we are saying? It's because you don't know who God really is. So, Pastor, what you are saying, I can't understand, because who do I tell the people that you are? Some of us can't go for evangelism because when people see us preaching, they say, even you too. So even you too, you are preaching. You need to be preached to. And you are preaching. Who do I tell them you are? And the next thing is, even the people, will they believe me? Then number three. Okay. Praise God. So we are at a point where So reality, what is talking about? That God is always at work. Around us. So until we understand that God is the one who is at work around us, we'll be running around, around, around. And that was the prayer of Moses. God, who do I tell them that you are? Even the people you want me to go and lead, they will not believe me. Even me, I am inadequate. This morning, are you inadequate? Do you feel a sense of inadequacy? In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible told us the life of the apostles. If you check Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, you will see what God did in the life of the apostles. Three things for me that was very crucial is their background. The second thing that is very crucial for me is their consecration. And the third thing that is very crucial for me is the outcome. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible told us clearly that these disciples were unschooled, unlearned, illiterates. God does not need any special person to do this. So please, can I beg you? God is talking to you. If you are not qualified, it is you God is talking to. What I'm saying this morning is not for pastors. What I'm saying this morning is not for those who have had a long time in discipleship. As far as you are born again, God is addressing you this morning. But God will not just want you to just come. He needs you to make a consecration, which is what we want to do this morning. He says, if you are going to become what I want you to become, then you must make a consecration. The Bible says that when they saw the disciples who were unlearned and unschooled, they realized that they had been with Jesus. So their everyday relationship with Jesus changed their life. Look at the result that came out. They began to speak the word in boldness. That was the outcome of their life. And you ask me, Pastor, how do we situate this? Do you remember the story of the man who called a banquet and told people to come for the banquet? The first set of people he sent out to come for the banquet, they said they didn't pay attention and they didn't come. Then the man went and sent another set. He said, go and tell them that my banquet is ready, come and eat. And when he went there to tell them to come and eat, do you know what happened to them? I will tell you. The Bible says some of them just looked at them and turned and went and continued what they were doing. Some others took his servants and maltreated them. And after they maltreated them, the Bible says that when the owner of the banquet heard the way they treated his servants that he sent to them, he got angry and he dealt with them. Then he did something, which I want us to do this morning. He sent a fresh servants. He said, go to the streets. Go to the streets. Go and bring fresh people from the streets. The poor, the rich, the old, the young, the learned, the unlearned. Bring everybody to my banquet. Then when they came to the banquet, the most serious thing I've ever seen, one of the most serious things I've ever seen in the scripture happened. What is it? Would you be willing to know? I will share with you. The Bible says, after they entered into the banquet hall, suddenly, the man, the owner of the feast, began to go around. And as he was going around, he was assessing everybody's garments. He was assessing. Let me tell you, there is a divine assessment taking place in heaven now. Unfortunately, we have become too comfortable that we feel that there is no judgment. And the man was checking everybody. He said, you are okay. Checked. Say, you are okay. Recall what the Bible told us. The Bible said they went to the streets to bring people. They didn't have time to go home to prepare and dress well. He checked him. He said, you are okay. He checked him. You are okay. He checked him. You are okay. You are okay. You are okay. He was checking them one after the other. And he was saying they were okay. Okay. You are okay. You are okay. You are okay. He kept going around, checking everybody one after the other. He said, you are okay. You are okay. You are okay. And I was asking myself, sir, what are you looking at? You went to the streets to bring men. What was your expectation? He said, you don't understand. You are okay. 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 And he came back. And he looked at one. And he said, excuse me. Why are you not with your wedding garments? At this point, I said, no. It appears to me that God is taking this thing too far. You know, for you watching me via live streaming, I think for some of you here, you may say, this pastor is taking it too far. But no. When I also saw some things God did in the scripture, it appeared to me he took it too far. And I said, he went back. He said, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Just. He said, why are you not with your wedding garments? Why? Can I make a case for her? I will. Because when I read that scripture, I made a case for that guy. And I'll tell you the case I made. I said, hello, sir. The man you are asking why he didn't come to the wedding banquet with his wedding garments, you picked him from the streets. Sir! Not only from the streets, you didn't give him time to prepare. Sir! There was no wedding invitation for him to know the color code. Sir, you know it was on the streets they just brought him. They didn't tell him to go home to change. Sir, why should you tell him he didn't come with the wedding garments? The Lord began to speak to me. Will you shut up? How come the other ones who were also picked from the streets, how come they all now had a wedding garment? Then the Lord spoke to me like I want to speak to you as I close. In the scheme of heaven, everybody has a right to the church. Everybody is qualified to come into his house just as you are. Sinners, no matter what your case is, Bible says, whosoever believeth in him. But do you know, the moment you enter into the church, you must never remain the same. Everybody can enter, but the moment you enter, there is a code for the church. There is a nature, there is a DNA for the church. All these things we are saying, if the Lord, the owner of the church, moves around us to check us, if he doesn't find this thing in us, he will ask you, where is your wedding garment? Will you bow your heads? Where is your wedding garment? You know the church is full of excuses. It was from the streets I came. I was not prepared. I was not ready. I was not set for the program. They just brought me from nowhere and told me to come. The Lord is asking you, sister, brother, where is your wedding garment? He said, pastor, I thought, you are only thinking. The Lord is asking this morning, where is your wedding garment? You know, we may say, this thing, we are taking it too far, too hard. But the scripture is clear. The scripture is clear. The scripture is clear about it. If you don't have your wedding garments, you'll be thrown out. So this morning, before the Lord, who alone has the right and the authority to throw men out on the last day, before he brings us to that point, will you permit me make another call? Pastor, I had the first call. But Pastor, it appears to me something has happened to my wedding garments. My wedding garment has been stained. My wedding garment has been torn. In fact, my wedding garment is now too old, tattered. Pastor, my wedding garment has been stolen. It was stolen the day I rose and I stayed on that bed that I shouldn't stay. The day I began to speak against sacred things, my wedding garment was stolen. Are you here this morning? Your wedding garment has a problem. And you know, the Lord, if he reassess all of us this morning, there will be a problem with our lives. Will you be willing to say, Pastor, pray with me? Once again, the Lord is making that call. And I feel there is something heaven wants to achieve this morning. Are you here this morning? You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. Please lift up your right hand. Pastor, there's something wrong with my wedding garments. There's something wrong with my issue. Yes, the call was made before. But Lord, I sense there are hands up here. There's something wrong with my life. Something wrong, something wrong. God bless you, my sisters. God bless you, my brothers. Just lift your hand high up. Let them see you. Let them see you. Just raise it right high up. High up. Up high. Up high. Oh. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. Beginning point of our walk with you is this relationship matter you have raised this morning. Thank you for granting unto us double opportunities for us to repent within a service. Oh God, if there be anything fundamentally wrong with our lives, please help us. What made men to celebrate Moses was what made you to disqualify Moses. Lord, do not allow us to continue to enjoy the praises of men when heaven has disqualified us. Oh Lord, please help us. Please help us. Help our lives to your glory and to your praise. In the name of Jesus. You know, as you look at me, please look. As I was praying, I sensed that if we are going to experience God very well, then we must deal with the praises of men. Let's not wait for men to acknowledge us. Why men were happy that Moses gave them water? God told Moses, you will not enter the promised land. The people had water to drink. Moses lost the promised land. Saul was sitting on the throne in Israel as the king over Israel. He did not know a coronation service had taken place and David was already the king. Are you sitting on the throne thinking all is well and the Lord is saying, I'm no more with you? You know, we must be very careful that after we have entered into the banquet, we have eaten the rice of the banquet, we have greeted people in the party, people think we are a part of the party. They say, ah, this sister, wonderful sister, this brother, I know him in church. Everybody is greeting you in church. Oh, well done. But heaven is saying, I will soon check. This one is not wearing wedding garments. I will soon send him out. You know, the reason why God is bringing us here and speaking to us is so that we can truly experience him and know him. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help our lives so that we can fulfill purpose and mandates and not miss out of his purpose for our lives. Father, please help us. Help our lives. Keep us faithful. Keep us strong. May we not fall with the tide of this time. May we not think that we are right when you have disqualified us. May we not continue to glory in the past of yesterday. Please help our lives. Help us not to miss out in eternity.
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.